Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Let's go to the latest on the investigation into why Germanwings Flight 9525 crashed into the French Alps on Tuesday. The chief French prosecutor involved in that investigation said today that the co-pilot brought the plane down intentionally. On the black box voice recorder, investigators can hear the captain leave the cockpit and then apparently get locked outside. He pounds on the door, but there's no response from inside the cockpit, just the sound of the co-pilot breathing normally in the moments before the crash. Friends of the 28-year-old German co-pilot reject the prosecutor's conclusion, saying it's too early to know what happened. William Longavisha is an international correspondent for Vanity Fair with extensive experience covering airplane crashes. He's with us from New York. William, welcome.
Thank you.
And the chief French prosecutor handling the investigation would not label this suicide, but in this morning's press conference, translated here by CNN, he said he could not otherwise explain why the co-pilot brought the plane steadily down directly into the mountainside.
He had no reason to do so. He had no reason to stop his captain from returning to the cockpit. He had no reason not to answer the air traffic control, which was telling him about loss of altitude.
William, what do you make of this, the prosecutor at this stage of the investigation saying that the co-pilot brought this plane down intentionally?
Well, I think it's, you know, he may be right. He may well be right, but it seems to me to be premature. You know, there are different systems in place in the world for investigating accidents, and the French system is an extremely good one. Probably is not my preferred one. The prosecution, it's a parallel investigation, so there's a criminal investigation always because of the deaths in France, to the technical investigation, which is done by the famous BEA, the real accident investigators. The BEA, I think, would not be making statements like this so early, and I think that, again, he may be right, but it's sort of the voice of inexperience speaking here when it comes to dealing with information at an early stage of an investigation.
Well, if he is right, though, and the pilot, after leaving the cockpit, was trying to get back in and was unable to get back in because the door to the cockpit was locked and the other pilot who was at the controls would not open it, the question that has come up is, was there an overcorrection after 9/11 when these cockpit doors became more secure and harder to get into? Should there be a way for a pilot who leaves to get back in without the person on the inside of the cockpit allowing them in?
I think that, you know, there's always a cost for every benefit. We clearly needed to fortify the doors after 9/11. And lock them, and we did. The American system is to, you know, require some other crew member to be in the cockpit if one of the pilots leaves. The Europeans don't have that system in place, and I'm sure they're going to put it in place now. But it's probably an easier solution than a mechanical solution. We know from experience that, you know, if a pilot wants to take an airplane down, the time he does it is when the other guy goes to the head, when he leaves to relieve himself. That's when things happen. A pilot left alone in the cockpit is probably not a good idea.
And when you say we know from experience, you're talking probably about the Egypt Air Flight 990 crash that back in 1999 off the coast of Nantucket. U.S. officials determined that one of the pilots on that flight crashed it intentionally into the water.
Yes, that was the determination. The Egyptians resisted it strongly, and I think probably still resist it today, that determination. But in fact, that is what happened. It became very political, which is rare for accident investigations. But in this case, because we're dealing with Egyptian sensibilities, pretty much anything went wrong except that their own man did it. Well, their own man did do it, and that's what the NTSB investigation conclusively demonstrated.
And is there a connection, do you think, at this point between what happened there and what happened here? Do you take any lessons from that crash in this case?
Again, it's premature, and we don't know. I mean, I in the back of my mind, I still have very much an open mind toward the possibility of a medical crisis here. I mean, it does seem a little unlikely because, you know, the level flight was deselected. But I frankly think this is too early to speculate. The investigation has to continue at least a few more days, if not a few more weeks.
One of the other things, though, that has come up is how much screening there is for pilots, both health screening in case this was some sort of a medical emergency, and also psychological screening. What is the case right now when it comes to that?
Well, there is some screening, of course. There is screening of various kinds, including, you know, criminal checks and psychological checks, technical skills, all of that, references. There's only so much you can do with this. You know, obviously, if you find a person is a member of an extremist political group, you probably won't hire him as a pilot. But it's very difficult to predict. As we know in normal life, it's very difficult to predict the sudden, irrational, and potentially violent moves of individuals. And we just, you know, we're not there. And maybe thank God we're not there. Because if we try to do it, you'd probably be making a lot of mistakes. Wrongful conviction, if you know what I mean.
William Longavisha, international correspondent with Vanity Fair, talking with us about the latest on the Germanwings crash in France. Thank you, William.
Thank you.